And good morning. Welcome to Speak Up Las Cruces. I'm KTAL-LP 101.5. I'm Walt Ribble, and joining me is Jamie Bronstein.
Good morning, everybody.
And we are very excited this morning. This is going to be the first show coming to you with our new soundboard. A lot of you might remember that we had a fundraiser this past December to get the money that we needed for a new soundboard, and it has been installed. Tom Larkin, who you probably recognize from Las Cruces Rocks, is on our tech committee, and he is in helping Minerva and John, and we are getting started with this new board, and we want to thank everybody so much who contributed to our fundraiser in December. And like I said, we're just excited to get this new board started. I'm doing today's show with a big old knot on my forehead that happened Monday. Golly, I'm all mixed up already. I have got a yard. I've got a dog that will not stay in the yard. And I got this dog about 4 months ago. And as soon as he saw my four-foot fence, I said, no, that's not going to hold him. And as soon as he saw a cat, he went over that thing like Edwin Moses in the low hurdles. And so I spent, you know, the money to get a 8-foot fence erected. And as soon as he couldn't go over it, he went under it. And I have got the thing lined with rocks and boulders and cinder blocks, and he gets out. So he got out Monday. And he did this thing where he's running around. I could see him, right? And so I'm in my bedroom slippers, and I go after to get him. And he does this thing where he lets me get right up to him, and then he goes away and looks at me again and waits. So I did that all the way around the block and got three-fourths of the way around, and I was mad. I lost my temper, and I shouldn't have, obviously. So I said, I'm just going to get him. I'm going to stop trying to walk calmly up to him. I'm just going to go out in a dead sprint, and I'm going to grab him, and I'm going to take him home on the short leash. That was my plan. So I took about 4 steps at full speed, as fast as I could, and I hit one of those inclines where it goes from the driveway to the sidewalk. Hit that with my right toe, and just face planted right into the sidewalk.
Ow!
So and. Fortunately, I've got a hard enough head that I didn't have symptoms of concussion. But what did happen was I ended up wrenching the muscles in my ribs, and tough night's sleep in the last couple of nights. But I went to see the doctor, and there's nothing wrong. It's just going to hurt for a few days, and I got to do a better job of not losing my temper when the dog gets out. And I got to figure out how I'm going to keep him in the yard.
What kind of dog?
He is a mix, and he's part husky and part terrier and probably part other things as well. About 18 or 19 years old, I absolutely love him to death, take him to the dog park every day, and he is so scrappy. I mean, I just love watching him play with other dogs and romp, and he's very good with me. I mean, he's just very loving and all of that stuff, but he won't stay in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've had growing up, I had a dog that was a runner, but as long as you remember to keep the gate shut, you're okay. This dog. Not sure what's going on. Okay. we are working. This is our first show with a new board, so that may explain that. But anyway, it'll all be fine. So that's why I got the big knot on my forehead. I know we were wanting to talk about the county audit this morning, and I'll let you go ahead and kick that one off.
Okay. Well, there was an article about this in the Albuquerque Journal yesterday, and that led me to the actual audit report that's on the state auditor's website. And so I had a look at that, and the audit, which itself is like over 300 pages long, including the appendices at the end, really describes a lot of systematic issues with county governance. I wonder how different that is from other large state-related organizations.
That's a good question.
Because a lot of the things that I read about in the county audit, I recognize as problems that New Mexico State University has faced over time.
I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, but it really does seem like there is a lot for them to work on. So, for example, there's not enough oversight of the various departments. departments take forever to communicate with each other. HR has been accused of favoritism and unfairness. And then when there gets to be a certain amount of distrust in an organization, instead of seeing interactions with your boss as, you know, just general supervisory stuff, people interpret that as systematic unfairness, and then they escalate it to the next level up. And, you know, so the loss of trust within an organization can be very, very bad. Really slow hiring, lots of high turnover in certain areas. The sheriff wasn't routinely attending county commission meetings. I didn't realize that that was a requirement of the position. And one of the most interesting things to me was that the county appraiser has not fully reappraised the property value since 2008. And so that does mean that some people's, you know, property value may have gone way up, mm-hmm. but that is not reflected necessarily in the property tax that people have to pay. So quite a few things, but also I understand the county commission really did not get around to interacting very much with the state auditor at their most recent meeting.
Well, and this all stemmed from what has been an ongoing dispute between the sheriff's office and the county commission. The latest one involved Sheriff Stewart actually balking on allowing cadets to graduate from the academy, which, to be honest, I thought she was probably in the wrong in bringing them into the middle of that, my take on that. But at the same time, I understood her frustration. And Sheriff Stewart, before she was Sheriff Stewart, she was a county employee who sued the county and successfully for more than $1 million. And it seems like they just pay those off. I mean, that came after the Steve Slevin lawsuit, where it was the biggest verdict in the history of the federal court, where this poor guy they kept in solitary confinement, and you know, he was pulling his own teeth out and all kinds of horrible, terrible things. And it seems like the county just passes that all on to the taxpayers, and you know, somebody else gets elected and nothing else changes. And to me, one of the really frustrating things is you do something huge like this Project Jupiter, and then the only two commissioners who are up for reelection, one of them decides he wants to be assessor, and he does this cute thing where he resigns early so that he doesn't have to follow the rules and sit out for 2 years. And the other one just says, no, I'm not running. And so if you're a voter and you're not happy and you want to express your displeasure, too bad. You know, but getting back to the bigger issue on, I know the one Peter brings up all the time was the guy who wanted to stand up and protest at county meetings, and they had him arrested. They just don't get it, it seems like. And it seems like it goes from one to the next to the next to the next. And I don't know if they're not getting the right guidance I don't know what's causing what I think are good people, and I still think are good people at the time they get elected, and now and when. But you know, and Shannon Reynolds, I like Shannon Reynolds. I just don't understand what leads to all of this. I don't want to say corruption, but certainly a lack of good governance.
Yeah, it seems like it's a very unwieldy bureaucracy.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to know who's in charge. The audit report talks about the county manager and the assistant county manager and who's in charge of which things for each. But even below that, if you don't get information from your sort of subordinate departments in a timely fashion, then you have no idea what's going on. So it talked about how the sheriff didn't know about certain requests and complaints that had been lodged and levied because a different department was getting those and not forwarding them to the sheriff's office. So, there are some recommendations within the report for systematic changes, and there are certain things that the county has already done in response, like asking for more training on the IPRA law, the law that requires the revelation of public records to people who ask. But it's going to be a big job.
Yeah, IPRA, Inspection of Public Records Act.
Ooh, there's a caller.
Okay. We do have a caller. We will throw our headphones on here. Good morning, caller. Go ahead and jump into the conversation.
Good Good morning. As it happened, I sat through the whole county audit report thing, went to the county to attend it, and they ended up delaying it so long that I ended up watching it on video. But a couple of things. First of all, that point about the sheriff and the trainees was actually the sheriff was, to the extent anybody was, the sheriff was in the right. The county did two things wrong. First of all, the state law basically sets it up so that a specific psychologist the state certifies looks at the files of the trainees and says yay or nay based on the whole, you know, view. And the HR jumped in improperly and said, wait a minute, we think this guy's dangerous because there was something in the file that said he didn't like his mother or whatever. But they overruled the state psychologist, who by law and by good sense is supposed to decide those things, and told the sheriff whom, you know, basically these people were already going through training. We were spending money training them. And they said, no, you can't certify this person. And then they ordered her to certify everybody, including some she'd been told not to. So then they compounded it by suing her, which would be, there's no rule that says you can't sue the sheriff, but there are two things. One's a law that basically if you're going to sue somebody and you're the county, you got to run it by the Board of County Commissioners, which the then county manager failed to do. So they filed suit without authority. And then secondarily, anybody who deals with law knows that if we had a situation, for example, where the radio station sued me or sued you, Walt, the radio station would also have to, quite likely, if you're still an employee, pay for you to have independent counsel, whom, in this case, the sheriff had no independent counsel to advise her. So basically, you're going to a gunfight, and one side has the gun. So
I assume people recognize your voice, but for those who don't, this is Peter Goodman. My recollection, though, and you know, I didn't follow it nearly as closely as you did, but my recollection was that she got to a point where she said, okay, I'm just going to kind of keep everybody from graduating. And that was, I guess, what I was responding to.
My cell phone's not working too well, so I couldn't quite hear you.
Oh, what I said was what I was responding to, my criticism was, my recollection was that she got to the point where she said, okay, we're not going to have anybody graduate. Am I wrong about that? Am I misremembering it?
Well, I think she did at one point, because they were telling her, they were giving her, for one thing, I don't know the detail, but they were giving her conflicting, you know, they had said you can't certify a couple of these people, and then she was ordered to certify everybody. And the auditor said, hey, that kind of decision is her purview, not theirs, and basically said, you know, butt out HR. You know, HR has an involvement in sheriff's personnel, but they can't decide, you know, which deputies she's going to accredit, or whatever the proper word is. At any rate, it was real bad for the county. There were also about a half dozen things, like you mentioned, the sheriff not attending county commission meetings as required by law, and inadequate training of some officers, you know, a couple of things missing in the file that either the officers had not gotten certain training or the document to say they did wasn't in the file. So the sheriff's department didn't come out, you know, 100% clean, but for the county, it was real bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. And like I said, that to me, the frustrating part about that is that, you know, neither of the incumbents are running for reelection. And so, you know, if you're a voter, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and you hope that the next person does better, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's great, though, that New Mexico has a state auditor who can be called in to do these kinds of assessments. I'm working on a historical research project on the New Mexico Territorial Insane Asylum in the late 19th and early 20th
century.
Well, that
sounds like an interesting research project.
Yeah, and it was one of the very early uses of the state auditor's responsibility to come in 1922 and facilitate an audit of the finances of that institution.
Right.
And it was a huge scandal. They found out that one of the businessmen in Las Vegas, New Mexico, who was also he was the chair of the board that's in charge of the state hospital at that point, that he was systematically bilking the taxpayers. And so it makes really interesting reading, just seeing all the different ways in which the state auditor was able to call out this pattern of misbehavior.
I'm just curious, what led you to want to dive into that, and what, without giving it away, what are you starting to find when you're doing that research?
What led me to want to look into this was I became interested in the subject through the story of a great-grandmother who was, when she got dementia in the 1960s, she was put into a mental institution. And I thought, oh, maybe I should look at that institution. That would be interesting. But that particular one had 7,000 patients at a time, whereas the one in Las Vegas, New Mexico, which has records that are easier to access, only had, you know, about 300 patients at a time. And okay. So I thought, there is a story here. So it's a book project that I've been working on for probably, well, since COVID, probably about 4 years.
Yeah, yeah, that is interesting. I can't wait to see what the final product looks like. anything else locally that we want to talk about?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Well, I guess the big thing, you know, nationally, obviously, is, internationally, is the war in Iran, which seems to be sputtering along. And as we sit here today, I guess the idea is that they're going to put out a memorandum of understanding that, and it seems like all they're trying to get is the Strait of Hormuz open. If we get that back open, then we'll start talking about everything else, which, of course, it was open before we started this whole mess.
Well, right. And the repetitive cycle of, oh, we're going to throw more missiles at them. Oh, no, wait, we're going to sign a peace treaty with them. You know, that going back and forth in a repetitive way, that seems to be linked as much to market manipulation as anything else, is really disturbing.
That's a very good point. It seems like all of that stuff comes out, you know, on the over the weekend, and then Monday the market shoot up.
Yep.
And then by Tuesday or Wednesday it all gets, you know, debunked, and the markets come. Well, the markets, that is the amazing thing, and I guess it's AI. But it seems like nothing that destroys the economy touches the stock market.
Well, people have described the current economy as a K-shaped economy. And so I think that sort of explains some of the irrational exuberance in the market, because the people who are wealthy just get more wealthy. And the people who have trouble paying for a full tank of gas, you know, they're on the other side of the K-shaped economy, the downward leg. And that, you know, most of those people don't have a market presence. And so that's just how it's going to be.
You know, I think that's right. And, you know, I think the bigger issue is that it's just going to be a struggle, I think, for most people. They keep saying, well, we should have done this for 40 years. Really? I mean, can you name one person who went to bed at night worried that we were going to get attacked by Iran? Do you know anybody living in the United States who that's at the top of their list of things they're worried about is, maybe Iran's going to get us tonight?
No, I really think the initial strike had more to do with Netanyahu than it had to do with Trump. And he was the one credulous enough to be strong-armed by Netanyahu into attacking. And Netanyahu seems to want to continue, you know, strikes against Lebanon. So that war, you know, is in full swing. Trump seems like he has dug in his heels a tiny bit because he's polling so badly.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, well, I think he very much regrets it. I mean, on one end, he had Netanyahu, who's been doing this with American presidents for 20 years or more. Mm-hmm. On the other end, he had this over-exuberant defense secretary who was just itching for, we got to display our lethality. We got to. And I think those two forces combine, and Trump is like, yeah. Trump sees it as, well, what is this going to be for me? I'll be the guy. All these other presidents tried and failed. I will be the president who solves it. And now he's discovering that no, you won't. You're not going to solve it. The best you can hope for at this point is to get out, to minimize the damage, because I think he had to save any face at all. He has to get something on nuclear weapons, even if it's a statement that is unenforceable. He has to come away with something.
But he never should have ripped up the JCPOA or whatever it was called.
That's what it was called.
Yeah.
And yes, that was an imperfect agreement, but that's from the perspective, from our perspective. But if you go into any agreement thinking if we don't get 100%, that's imperfect and it's unacceptable, well, then you never agree to anything.
That's right.
The hubris to come in and rip that up because it was done by Barack Obama. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And there's a visceral hatred that is every time Obama comes up, you can see it in Trump. And he doesn't think clearly, and he makes bad decisions. And this one is really, really going to be a costly one.
Yeah.
Interesting. I thought the other big thing that was happening last night was the Senate race in Texas where John Cornyn loses his seat to Ken Paxton. And I know this is one of those, this is what you get in, if you're a Democrat or an independent wanting sanity. In the Trump era, is you have all of these Republican primaries where you have two choices. You have the Trump candidate who's less likely to win in the general election, but if he does, hello, Senator Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you get with Ken Paxton. I mean, James Tallarico probably has a better, the Democratic candidate probably has a better chance to be Paxton. Well, it certainly has a better chance to be Paxton than Cornyn. But Paxton probably wins Texas. I mean, Ann Richards has been gone for a long time. I don't remember the last time Texas statewide elected a Democrat, you know.
Wasn't it Ann Richards? That was in the 1990s.
Yeah. And, you know, Beto O'Rourke was going to be the magic thing, and now it's going to be James Tallarico. And I like Tallarico a lot. I think he's very articulate. I think he expresses his position with reason and calmness, and certainly Lord knows we need more of that in our elections and in our politics. But I'm just afraid that it's going to be Paxton. And so you just have another bomb thrower.
Tallarico's social media people put out a really funny thing yesterday. Apparently Paxton had accused Tallarico of being a vegan. And Tallarico said, I'm an eighth generation Texan. I've been eating barbecue since before Ken Paxton's first indictment.
Yes. And you know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that drives me crazy about politics. I guess he had a breakfast burrito, an egg and cheese, breakfast burrito. And, you can't be a real Texan if you don't have steak in your burrito. Okay.
Oh, that's just bizarre.
That is just bizarre. So anyway, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting election. Of course, our primary is Tuesday, so I'm going to try to get out votes. I haven't voted yet. I can try to get out today or tomorrow. And one of the interesting races in this primary is in my district between Cadena and Martinez.
Oh, yeah.
And Ramona Martinez has put on an aggressive campaign. I mean, without getting nasty. Certainly critical.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things to be critical of when it comes to Representative Cadena. So that's going to be an interesting one. The sheriff's race, I think, is the one everybody's watching. And we do have a caller in just our final few minutes here. Caller, go ahead and please make your point. All right, caller, are you there? Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm not trying to, pick little comments, but I just want to say one little thing to Jamie. And I know she didn't mean it, but when she said he was accused of being a vegan, like it was a crime to be a vegan. And really, most vegans, they're either doing it for health or they're doing it because they care about animals and how animals are treated in these factory farming situation. So that's all. I just want to say that maybe it's not right to say accused because that sounds like it's a crime to be a vegan. I know I'm picking little, freaking parts of language.
That's okay. But. That's okay. That you get the right to have your opinion as well. So
that's all. But thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you. And, it's Texas, so. But no, she's absolutely right. People get to choose how, and that is, I am not one myself, but I respect those who do. I understand that it's probably a healthier lifestyle than the one I'm leading, but, to each his own, I guess is how I would put that.
Sure.